Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Alfred Conaway, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of the program. We are glad that you made it safe and sound and you're listening to us. You know, you could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're here with us. So we appreciate that. Let me not waste any time, bring in my partner in crime, because we got a lot to get into this week. We are at the NBA Finals. The NFL is going crazy, and we might even get a little political again this week. So let me bring in my tag team partner, the man from Southern California. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. Me and young Simba are only a game and a half out of first place in the NFC East, and we 51 men short of a regulation roster. Vanderberg, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Nate?
Oh, not much, man. Just watching a lot of. I don't know if this football is good or if it's terrible. I just don't know what I'm watching now in 2020.
It's getting better, right? A little bit.
I think it's getting better, but then everybody's getting hurt and then other things. So, yeah, before we even get into the NFL, because that'll be our first sports topic this week, Marcus, the nation has gone through a weekend of turmoil, a weekend like no other. When we got the bad news on this past Thursday that a man of great leadership and courage and conviction, somebody that you could say is a celebrity, somebody that you could say has always looked out for the black community, he has been stricken with COVID-19, and of course I'm talking about the one and only Cameron Newton.
Yes.
Cam is out. We don't know how long, Marcus. We don't know when he'll come back, but for now, Cam Newton is out.
He's out.
Yep. Our national nightmare continues.
Yeah. And then President Trump.
Yeah, but a bunch of other people, a bunch of people from Washington got it too, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about the big news in America, Marcus Vanderberg, because I feel like the closer we get to November 3rd, which we are now officially less than a month away from, by the time you're listening to this show, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like we'll get more and more political to the point where we might as well just start having Chris on every other week.
Yeah. I mean, we figured out what the debate was last week, too. We haven't talked about that, but.
Yep.
The tax story was last week. There was a lot of things happening last week.
There was a lot of things last week. They tried to do a quarterback sneak with a Supreme Court justice last week.
Yep.
Well, like Tom Brady over the goal line.
I mean, that was part of, that started the COVID thing, allegedly, maybe.
Yep. Yep. But, so, yeah. The celebration, Marcus, the coronation of this Supreme Court justice. But, yeah, for those that don't know, I don't know how you're listening to this and you don't know, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is currently, Marcus Vanderberg, at the hospital up in D.C.
Walter Reed.
I was going to say, it used to be called Bethesda, because I'm so used to calling it Bethesda, because when my pops used to work up there, you know, he'd always be like, where are you working tonight? Oh, I'm going up to Bethesda. So I'm used to calling it Bethesda. I'm like, no, it's not Bethesda. It's some old man name. It's Walter Reed. That's it. But yeah, Donald Trump was admitted to Walter Reed on, was it Friday?
Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Friday afternoon, yeah, because we found out Thursday night that Trump had contracted COVID-19, had come down with that Rona, Marcus. And for the last, I'd say from Thursday on, this has been like the big story in America, if not the world right now.
It is. And it's been interesting to see the reaction to this news. It's, you know, Twitter on a regular day is a pretty toxic place, but when you factor in Trump getting COVID, I was like, oh, this is...
It even got too petty for you.
Listen. Having Trump, you know, God forbid, die would not be good for the country. Like, forget the last 4 years. Put your personal feelings aside. Like, it would be a bad situation. So, I guess the people who are openly rooting for him to die, that's the part I didn't get.
Right.
Plus, I mean, that's not even... considering just being a decent human being, like I wouldn't wish death upon anyone.
Right.
You being a better Christian man than me, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yes. Matter of fact, I put out a tweet Thursday night. I was like, Lord, grant me the strength and the wisdom to not say the things that might could slip out, you know, if I have one or two extra drinks. And because I feel like, it's like the OJ thing, Mark. It's like you understand the reason people are reacting this way, but it's like if you take a step back, that's a couple things. Like, A, like you said, Marcus, like a lot of the people, especially like good friends of mine, I know they're better people than that. And I don't want to make it sound like we're lecturing people, because, you know, you feel how you feel, but I feel like they're having an emotional reaction. And it's like,
understandable.
It's right. It's an understandable emotional reaction, but it loses sight of the bigger goal. Because, like you said, Marcus, if let's say Trump did pass away, we got 3 months of President Pence. And who knows what President Pence could sneak across the goal line before the election?
On top of a base that is going to be completely rattled in.
Now you got Trump as a martyr.
Yeah.
So. Right. Like, to me, the thing is, yes, like, because if you pay attention to any of the polls, and granted, you got to take the polls with a grain of salt, but Biden's got a decent lead, and we're a month out, and people are still early voting. And then if you're listening right now and you haven't voted yet, you know, make sure you're registered, make sure you're on the rolls, get your early ballots if you can, get them back. But yeah, it seems like Biden, unless something major happens or unless some, nefarious means from another country happens, Marcus. It feels like Biden's going to win this one. It might be close, but it feels like Biden's going to win. So to me, that is more like, if you want to hurt Donald Trump, that's the way you hurt Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, don't let him die a hero to his base. Let him stay alive, lose this election, and maybe have to go to the court and answer for some crimes, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, at the rate Biden's going, he might win not just Florida, but might win Arizona. And I don't think the Democrats won Arizona since the 90s, I want to say. Maybe since Clinton. So it's been a while.
Even Obama didn't take Arizona. That should tell you something. But I feel like the other thing about this, Mark, is that might benefit you know, the Biden campaign is, it's put the focus back on the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Where I feel like, you know, people like you and me and you know, most kind of empathetic, caring people that care about other people, like we were conscious of the Rona over the last few months. But there's a certain segment of the population that thinks it's all magically gone away. I don't know where they would get such an idea, Marcus Vandenberg. And so... I feel like if there was somebody that was on the fence and they weren't thinking about the Rona, like, not, you can't help but think about the Rona now. Like the Rona was like the Rona was like Chris Rock in Head of State. You remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody hadn't seen Head of State, Chris Rock is trying to become the first black president. And he's losing. He's trying to figure out, how can I win? He brings in Bernie Mac as his campaign manager. And Bernie's like, you know, you can't try to run a regular campaign. You got to be you, which maybe Donald Trump watched this before he ran in 2016.
Inspiration, yeah.
It's his inspiration. And so Chris is like, I got to get this man on the debate stage. That's the only way I can beat him. And so Chris Rock just harasses this man, hounds the man from the other party. And like every time he's having a press conference, Chris Rock shows up. I thought I told you that we won't stop. And that's how I feel, Marcus Vandenberg. That's how I feel the Rona is right now. The Rona's like, I thought I told you that we won't stop.
You would think the Rona would be this great cross-party unifier of both sides coming together to say, hey, wear your mask. Do your social distancing. But no, we've had one side in Biden who has appeared to follow all the proper steps. And then you have the other side in Trump who on Tuesday mocked Biden for wearing mask. And then we find out 2 days later that he tests positive for coronavirus.
So, yep. And it wasn't just Trump. Rona took out the whole squad. We talking Trump. We talking Melania. We talking Kellyanne Conway. We talking Chris Christie. We talking there's a couple of what's that? Kayla
senators.
Couple senators, but Kayla McInerney.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever her name is, the blonde lady. That's the new press secretary. Took Kayla out the picture. And so it's like, yeah, like everybody, like Marcus, for whatever reason, everybody that was at that big celebration for the new justice, a new potential justice, seems to be coming down with this thing. And so, yeah, like I feel like this is not only kind of an energizing moment for the Democrats, because they're like, you know, we can keep this pandemic on the front burner, and also, you know, the failure of the administration to do something before, you know, when we had a chance back in January, you know, to get ahead of the curve. But also, like I don't know if you saw Jamie Harrison down in South Carolina, Tony Gwynn. He debated.
Man. His debate over the weekend.
Yes.
He might have won the election this weekend.
I was saying, not only did he eat the Lindsey Graham, but he came out there with his own plexiglass from home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like people are starting to see, man, like, I think this might have been Corona was the villain and the hero of the story the whole time, Marcus.
Yeah, and for this to happen this close to the election just, you know, complicates things. He's going to get discharged probably as we're speaking. And
which again, like any, that's the other thing, Marcus, man, let's talk about these damn doctors Trump had out there.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it like every medical person that I've seen, you know, whether they on CNN or MSNBC or on the local news, they're like, yeah, if you come down and test positive for Rona on a Thursday, ain't no way you getting out, you know, from whatever medical facility you're in until like the next Wednesday. Cause they want to make sure that, you know, that fourth or fifth day that something doesn't happen. Cause that's the danger zone apparently. And my man Trump is just like, hey, I'm good, dog. And the doctors out there, like, how are the doctors worse than Trump, Marcus, when it comes to telling the truth? They asked the doctor a simple question. Has the president been on oxygen? The doctor said, well, not today and not on Wednesday. Was he on oxygen Friday? Well, he wasn't on oxygen today. Like, come on, man. Like,
I mean, even he was trying to tell you. He was trying to give you signs. but who does the doctor work for? That's the problem.
Yep. Who signs the checks?
Exactly. Maybe the president should be forced, and all presidents should be forced to have independent positions. So someone who's not affiliated with the president, someone who, you know, it can be a government doctor. I mean, it could just be anyone that's not directly affiliated, because I'm sure the doctor was probably put in a spot where he was not not encouraged to be open about Trump's condition, and to your point about being released, we were told he was diagnosed Thursday night. It could have been earlier. And they also tried to blame Hope Hicks, which, look, we don't know who had it first.
Oh, yeah, Hope Hicks had it
Hope
too.
Was
yep.
the fall person. That, I mean, Hope, she was the one who was, you know, dragged on all this. And then all of a sudden, you find out that everyone had it.
Trump was like, hey, so, look, Hope, you're wonderful, you're amazing, but you got to go down for this one.
Yeah.
Somebody got to take the fall. But the other thing, Marcus, you know, you talk about those doctors and ostensibly they work for the administration. And that was not any clearer than Saturday when the president was out here doing drive-bys in the parking lot, Marcus Vandenberg, to these people out here, you know, that was coming out to support him. They let this man who we know has COVID. Mm-hmm. Let him get in the car with, I'm assuming, at least two or three Secret Service agents plus a driver.
Yep.
Let this man drive around and wave to the people.
I was so confused because I saw the tweet and I figured he was getting discharged. Because yes. I was like, why would he get dressed to do a drive?
Like, come on, man. Like, like, why? Why would you even do that? Why would you even? Like, we know why. Because he, you know, he is the star of his own movie in his head.
Yeah. I mean, you're exposing everyone in that car.
Yep.
Who should now be quarantining for 14 days because yep. they were, I mean, windows are up.
And like, for those that don't know, the Secret Service vehicles aren't like regular cars. Like, they are sealed. They're tight.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, in case somebody, you know, had a biological weapon or a chemical weapon, you know, it wouldn't be able to penetrate. So, if nothing can get in, nothing can get out as well. And so, yeah, they stuck in the car with all the Trump COVID germs just flying around. Like, nah, man, you better give me overtime. Like time and a half for that job that day.
And then on top of that, you're pretty much telegraphing where you're going to be, which feels like if you're the Secret Service, you're like, shit, man. Like, this is not the attention that we need at the moment where, God forbid, something were to happen. You're basically saying, oh, I'm gonna come outside and do a drive-by. Like, so... Yeah, that was Saturday. And
so here's the thing, Marcus, because we have, as of this recording, like we're recording on Monday. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow night, we have our vice presidential debate between Mike Pence and Kamala Harris, which they extended the distance from 6 feet to 12 feet, which... Still, in my opinion, Marcus, why are you even traveling? Like, we got if you and me can do a show on the computer, you can do a damn debate on the computer, and that way you can mute people if you need to,
or just have them in two separate rooms.
Yep,
and just do like, a split screen.
Exactly. Like, there's no reason to like. This is not a normal year, so why are we trying to pretend like everything's normal? But then the other thing is, do you think that Trump and Biden will have another debate? Because in my opinion, like, what's the point? Like, A, not only is it dangerous in terms of people's health and people's safety, but B, we saw what happened last week, and that was worse than the worst episode of Raw, Marcus Vandenberg.
So I saw today that Trump is still planning on debating on the 15th. Which would be, I believe, 14 days since his, it'll be 14 days since he was diagnosed to the day. But if you're Biden, who said last week, I'm going to keep debating, I think this is his out to say, Mr. President, with all due respect, I'm not comfortable, you know, putting myself in the same room as someone who was in the hospital for COVID. You know, I am also at risk. And you know what? You should take care of yourself and let's maybe you skip this one and you do the last one, which is right. I think the 20 something, like the 22nd, I believe. But yeah, to your point, the debate last week. I mean, Biden won, but Biden, I thought, sort of, he didn't lose. Let's put it like that. Like, he didn't win the debate, but he didn't lose the debate. Mm. Trump, though, was just, I mean.
will you shut up?
I mean, this goes back to my theory that.
Never in my life, Marcus Vandenberg, seen a presidential debate. When somebody told the other candidate to shut up. And the person that told the other candidate to shut up was actually the polite one in the debate.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? Yeah. Called him a clown.
I don't think Trump wants this reelection. And that's my theory. And I think there's been just various different things he's done so far that just illustrates that he just wants out. And I, you know, maybe the New York Times tab story changes some of that, where he knows what's coming once he's out of office. But at this point, I think the damage is done, on top of just him being a bad president. You know, the fact that
I think he wants the job, he just doesn't want to do the job. He just wants to be a celebrity. Right. Like, he doesn't want to actually be a president. And then, like you said, Marcus, like that story about him only paying $750 in taxes. Like, that not only does that, I think, hurt his image to a lot of people, but it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, there could be some legal recourse coming his way once he no longer has the shield of the presidency.
Yeah, and the tax thing, look, the tax thing is something that all Americans, even more than COVID, somehow can agree on. Like, nobody likes paying taxes. And you feel some kind of way knowing that you, common American citizen, are busting your butt to pay these taxes. And then you look at the president who has the funds in theory and who's not paying his taxes or not paying his proper share. So I think that's going to irk people on both sides that see that and read those stories that are thinking, like, come on, man. Like, it's bad enough that, you know, unemployment is through the roof and people are dying, but now you're up here and you haven't paid taxes for years and years, allegedly. Like, so, but yeah, the debate, maybe just do a second one and that's it. You know, I'm not sure what else is there to be said. And it's ultimately not going to help Trump. Trump should be the one who should use the illness to his part to say,
yeah,
I'm not fit to travel or debate or be in a room with someone else.
It would actually probably help him politically.
It would, because he's not going to, and really both sides aren't really going to win people over at this point, especially Trump. Trump's not going to somehow get the black vote because of, you know, something he said in a debate. So,
like, the two things that stood out to me, Marcus, my last thoughts on the debate. Number one, the whole Proud Boys thing. I was like, like, we're not even dog whistling no more. Like, we just went right past the dog whistles. But then the other thing, man, I was like, you say Joe Biden, like, he didn't win, but he didn't lose. I say Joe Biden won just for the fact that he didn't walk across the stage and pop Trump in the mouth when he was talking about his son was a drug addict, and then talking bad about the other son that died. Like that would have been it for me, Marcus. That would have been my whole candidacy right there.
Yeah, that the shots of the family, that's out of bounds. Like, you know, you don't see Joe Biden going after Barron Trump or Tiffany Trump or even Ivanka, who's more involved in the day to day. Like
he could have spent 20 minutes talking about Jared.
Yeah.
But what the hell Jared been doing in the Oval Office? So, like, yeah, like, that's not a battle Trump wants to get into. Like, if we're gonna start comparing families.
Yeah, no. So that was, and I think Biden handled that well in terms of saying, look, you know, Hunter who had the drug issues?
Yeah, because Bo was the one who passed away. So
basically saying, look, Hunter had drug issues. He got himself clean. And that's something that's relatable. That's something that a lot of Trump's base is dealing with. Heroin addiction and just sort of the opioids.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, I miss Live PD in a way, but the one thing that Live PD exposed was the rampant drug issue across the middle of the country. Like,
that could actually help Joe with that when you like you said, like, it makes him relatable. Like, even if you don't agree with all his policies, you're like, yeah, like we've been through the same thing, Joe.
Mm-hmm. And he's just, you know, I think he's definitely way more likable than Hillary.
He just
comes off as just, you know, I don't want to say an average Joe because that's a bad pun, but there's something there that is just, I think you can, I mean, even his, it might seem silly, but just his tweet that he sent out after Trump was diagnosed, like if the roles were reversed, I don't see Trump sending that tweet out about Biden.
No, Trump would have been like, see, I told you masks don't work.
Yeah.
Like, Trump would have been on some Marcus Vandenberg petty V.
No, come on.
Yes. I mean, like, to be fair, like, I learned all of my petty skills from Marcus. Shout out to Redacted. And on that note, like, yeah, anybody that saw that tweet, like, you know what it is. But, yeah, by the way, happy belated International Podcast Day, everybody.
Yes.
I didn't even know that was a thing till like, a week ago.
Me neither.
But, so let's go from the political arena, Marcus, to these empty football arenas and talk about the National Football League. And we can kind of start off. We can stay on the Rona train and talk about not only what went down with Cam Newton and the Patriots, but also just in general, because that's not the only game that was affected by players testing positive for Corona.
Yeah, so actually Titans, who had the first big outbreak of the NFL season, and I think they're up to almost 20 people who have tested positive for coronavirus. And
I believe they said half of those were players.
Yeah. So their game with the Steelers was originally postponed and then moved. So essentially this was their bye week for both teams, and that game we played later on in the season. And then on the Friday or Saturday.
Saturday.
Cam Newton tested positive. And that game will be played this evening on Monday. It got pushed back a couple days because no one else tested positive. It was only Cam, which so was an isolated incident. But, you know, Cam is now out for this game, and he'll be probably out for next week at least. So we've seen now two postponements of NFL games, and you know, not surprised. I guess what surprises me is while you can't do a true bubble this season, you can at least keep guys in hotels and try to contain them in the evenings when they're not, you know, at the facility. And I think that's where the players are sort of getting into trouble is, you know, once they leave practice, they're going out to their homes and stuff. And even if you wanted to isolate the families as well with the players, so they're at least together, I think that would work. But I can see this continuing to happen if the NFL doesn't figure out a way to do a better job of keeping track of these players.
Yeah, and it's like the 1-2 punch of not only do you have, you know, these tests popping up, but you also have just normal football injuries, which probably were caused by the shortened or the lack of a true preseason. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, yeah, like, I don't know what they're going to be able to do, Marcus, because I feel like if we had the NBA on one side and then, like, the first few weeks of Major League Baseball when they first came back on the other, and the NHL would be on the NBA side, too, in terms of being able to contain everything. I feel like the NFL is definitely leaning more towards the Major League Baseball side of things, where they might have to go through, you know, 2 weeks of just outbreaks and reshuffling and cancellations and postponements until they figure out a way to get things under wraps, like baseball eventually did.
Mm-hmm. It's the NFL, because of, you know, the game itself. You can't really play two games in a week. You can't sort of make up games. Right. So it's, you're going to reach a point where if you have teams missing, I mean, the Titans, for example, the Titans have been in a situation where they have to miss another week. Then what? You know, the Super Bowl, you don't really want to move that. Currently scheduled for February 7th at Raymond James, which looks like WrestleMania will be going back to this year, so, next year as well.
I guess I'll see you in 2022.
Yeah, won't be this year. Next year.
Which is probably better anyway, because I don't trust that COVID ain't gonna be around next year anyway.
Yeah, no. So yeah, that's where the NFL it gets tricky, because you really don't want to move the schedule. But I mean, look, we can't even get coaches in game to wear masks. Like, John Gruden is still a habitual mask stepper. He has been fined, I think, twice now.
Yes.
And yesterday, not wearing a mask. You know, I'm not sure what else, you know, I think they should suspend him at this point. Like, I mean, how many times you need to get fined to say wear a mask before you just remove him from the situation and say, all right, you're not coaching this week.
Yeah, because even if you don't care about, like, the health and well-being of others, you should at least care about your own pockets. Because if, like I saw on ESPN today, somebody was floating out the idea that if this keeps happening, they could start cutting games from the back end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, then you're messing with the integrity of the season.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, like, you're, if football is the thing you love the most, John Gruden or any of these other coaches, put the damn mask on. Cause if not, you're going to make an already weird season feel less valid at the end of it. If we've only played, you know, 14 games instead of the full season. And it's like, okay, well, they played 14, but, you know, you never know what could have happened those other 2 weeks. And so, like, I feel like, Marcus, this is probably going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. Like, next week and the following week, I'm going to be looking at in terms of, will it get more out of control, or will they find a way to tamp down on these things?
So here's the memo, I guess, Goodell sent out to teams today. Quote, protocol violations that result in virus spread requiring adjustments to the schedule or otherwise impacting other teams will result in additional financial and competitive discipline, including the adjustment or loss of draft choices or even the forfeit of a game. Simply put, compliance is mandatory. Now is the time to recommit ourselves to our protocols and best practices for the duration of the season.
So Goodell sitting in the office looking like a big worm on Friday. Look here, Chucky, playing with my money is like playing with my emotions. But yeah, like, what do you think, Marcus? Because you saw, you know, what went down with baseball and how they kind of had to struggle at the beginning before finally figuring out the formula and getting the testing right. How long do you think the learning curve is going to be for the NFL? Considering the fact that before the season started, we were told, like, yeah, we're going to be ready from day one. But apparently, like, you can't control everything. So how long do you think it's going to take before the NFL gets a handle on this?
I think we'll see another week or two of, I mean, really the first test that popped up was the Falcons player who was placed in the list. But I think it's going to be another week or two before it gets under control.
So let's talk about some on-field stuff real quick, Marcus Vandenberg. Besides the injuries and besides the positive COVID tests, which have wreaked havoc, I say, on so many fantasy football teams. I've seen people go to the waiver wire this week for players that they didn't know existed 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just to fill spots on the roster. But I guess the big story so far this week were the continued futility of the Cowboys and, by extension, the NFC East. We saw the Buffalo Bills and Jaheim Allen, Marcus, continue to put in work. Tom Brady is still struggling, but he struggles, but he's good, right? Like he's good enough to get it done, but he's certainly not the Tom Brady that was winning all them chips back in the day. And then I guess the other story, Marcus Vandenberg, would be the, and this might hit home for you, as a former, resident in the Big Apple, the futility of these New York squads on these streets, Marcus Vandenberg. So touch on any subject that you would wish from that buffet, that cornucopia of football topics.
The Jets and Giants might go 0-32.
Oh, why are your Jets so bad, Marcus?
I mean, injury is number one, but Adam Gase is probably the main reason.
Who's the worst coach, Adam Gase or Matt Patricia?
Adam Gase.
Wow. Wow, that's saying something. So what Marcus is saying is he hopes that Matt Patricia is announced as the next coach of the Jets.
No. Not at all.
when is Le'Veon supposed to come back?
TBD. I'm sure there's a set date yet.
Obviously, there's injuries on both teams because, you know, with Saquon is a huge injury for the Giants to overcome, but it's like, especially when I'm looking at like the Jets, I can understand feeling like the season's already lost because not only do you have to contend with the Patriots like you always do, but the Bills are undefeated at this point. So their mound's a little tougher to climb. Whereas with New York, it's like if the Giants win six games, there's a chance they could win the damn division, Marcus, because it's that bad.
Then they might have won three games. they played Dallas last week, so.
Yeah, Dallas is like there's no way. Like I thought they were gonna pull another miraculous comeback, like they did against a certain team in the South that we're not gonna speak of right now, but like. And I don't know who to put this on, Marcus, because, you know, you could say Dak in the second and third quarters wasn't hitting like he was in the first and the fourth, but I can't put that loss on Dak. Is it on McCarthy? Is it on the defense? Who would you put that on?
The defense. The defense is awful. Yeah, the defense is historically bad at the moment.
Like, and then Marcus, I was so waiting for the moment too, because they kept cutting the Baker on the sideline when Dak was on that drive before they Cowboys went for the onside kick, and Beckham did his thing, and you could just see the spirit being broken in Baker Mayfield if Dallas was able to come back and win this game. And they took that joy away from me, Marcus. I wanted to see Baker Mayfield crying at the press conference.
I mean, do you believe in the Browns now? I don't.
No. So who's Cleveland beat? So they beat Dallas.
They lost to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Beat Washington, beat Cincinnati, beat Dallas.
Yeah, so they, I mean, yes, credit for being 3-1, but you beat, I'm not going to call Dallas a scrub team, but you beat two scrub teams.
Nah, they're under scrub team. Dallas should be 0-4. They're scrubs.
you beat three scrub teams. So we'll see, because is Pittsburgh still undefeated?
I think so. Let me see. They didn't play this week. Yes, they must be. Yeah, they're 3-0.
Okay, so Pittsburgh is 3-0. Baltimore is 3-1, and Cleveland's 3-1, and then Cincinnati is what Cincinnati is.
1-1. Yeah.
So yeah, like I think this division might be better than I thought it was going to be coming into the season, but I'm not sold yet on the Cleveland Browns. Because here's the thing, Marcus. I don't even know if I'm sold on the Buffalo Bills and your man Jaheim.
Kinda.
Like I want to believe, but at the same time, it's like I need a few more weeks before I can buy into Jaheim Allen.
Yeah. I mean, they beat. The Jets and Dolphins aren't great.
No.
They beat the Rams, who they almost blew that lead. I mean, they did blow it and got some help late, and they beat the Raiders.
Yeah, and the Raiders looked Raiders. I don't know what the hell's going on with the Raiders. And then, when you talk about Allen, that's what I was going to talk about. When you talk about Allen, I don't know how much he's improved from last year, Marcus. And here's why. Like, obviously, the numbers are great. Like, obviously, you even had somebody like Mike Greenberg calling this man an MVP candidate on the radio this morning. But I don't know if he's gotten better or if he's just better because he has better weapons.
I think it was Pablo Torre who said Josh Allen is like human life crazy taxi.
Oh, crazy taxi.
Yeah.
Shout out to one of the greatest games ever.
But he's not turning the ball over. And his percentage, his completion percentage is way up. I think it's at 70% at the moment. So having Stephon Diggs obviously helps. But I do think he has definitely improved. It's just a matter of if he's going to fall back into some of the mistakes he's made earlier in his career.
Yeah. Because I do think there was one point where, I think he took a sack he didn't need to in the game yesterday. And it's like, just throw the ball away and you're still in field goal range. That's what it was. It knocked him out of field goal range. And he took the sack trying to make things happen. I think he held on to the ball for 6 or 7 seconds. Like, nah, you got to get rid of that thing, man. So, I think he's good, Marcus. But here's the thing I worry about, because for the last couple of years, man, we'd had Jaheim, with us, because nobody else would accept Jaheim and the way that he played. But now I feel like Jaheim getting a little too popular, Marcus Vandenberg, to stay with the crew. I feel like Jaheim is he's crossing over. Like Bills Mafia is now ready to embrace him in a way that they hadn't been before. And I don't know how I feel about that, Marcus Vandenberg.
Embrace it.
It's is he going to be the most respected and loved black quarterback in the league, Jaheim Allen?
No, because he's not like Tyler Hero, where you can tell he's been influenced by the culture.
Yes, yes.
I'm not sure we're at that same point with Josh Allen.
No. Now, if Josh Allen acted like Baker Mayfield, that might be a different story.
Oh, it would be, yeah.
I feel like Josh Allen is the player that Baker Mayfield's mind thinks he is.
Yes.
Because that's the other thing I wanted to get back to Cleveland, Marcus. Like, Baker was okay, but I don't think Baker's a great quarterback. Like, I don't know. Like, he's not top 15. He's not bottom 15, but he's certainly not, you know, where you would think he would be at this stage of his career.
No, he's probably bottom 15.
Ooh, you don't give it to him.
Where's the development then? He's not a rookie anymore.
Yeah.
The Browns are last in passing. He's not even averaging 200 yards a game.
Yeah. That's the thing. I feel like
he's not running the ball. He's not a rushing quarterback.
Yes. So. That's what I would like. To shout out another ESPN host, Max Kellerman, I think, was talking about Baker's improvements. And to me, I was like, I like Max. I know you like Max. Mm-hmm. But when Max was like, you know, Baker Mayfield's improving and you know, he's finally got the right coaching staff. He's going to improve. And I'm like, does he have the right coaching staff? Or does he just have a coaching staff that knows Baker's limitations? And they're not going to put him out there like that. They're going to run the ball with Hunt and with Chubb. And
Chubb is hurt, so.
Yep. So I feel like Baker, like maybe he's gotten better, but it's been incremental. The thing that makes this team different is, you know, you got two stud running backs, and you can take all that pressure off of Baker.
Yeah, they're first in rushing, last in passing. So that's you don't see many teams that rush for more yards than they do pass.
Yeah.
With Chubb out up to 6 weeks, then we're going to have to see some more passing because Kareem Hunt, you know, he can't do it all. So that's going to put the pressure back on Baker.
Yeah, so we will see what's going on with the Browns. Let's see, Marcus. What do you make of the old guys? You know, your Tom Brady's, your Drew Brees's, your Phillip Rivers. Are they still viable? Because I feel like Drew Brees, like he had a game or two. I think it might have been two games where Drew didn't look like Drew. He bounced back a little bit yesterday. Brady, like we said, you know, Brady won the game, had a good second half, but still had another pick six. Phillip Rivers does Phillip Rivers things. What's your take on the old guard, so to speak, of the quarterbacks?
I think Brady, of those three, looks the best. You know, 5 touchdowns yesterday to 5 different receivers. Drew Brees, it's hard to judge because he's without Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas is so much of that offense that,
yep,
you know, he's a TBD. Phillip Rivers, this is probably his last season.
It's got to be.
I'm not sure. Granted, I mean, look, the Colts are 3-1, which is great, but I'm not sure if the Colts want to sign up for another year of Phillip Rivers at age 39.
No. I think Brady is good. I think people are getting a little ahead of themselves because even this week I'm still hearing people talk about, oh, the Bucks are the cream of the NFC. And I'm like, last time I checked, didn't the Seattle Seahawks play in the NFC? Because to me, if I was to pick a favorite right now in the NFC, I might have to lean Seattle just because of the way that Russell Wilson is playing. You know, the defense isn't great, but they're doing enough to get by when you combine that with the offense.
Yeah, I would agree. The Packers are somehow overachieving.
We'll see tonight once they play that dangerous team in Atlanta.
0-3 Falcons, yeah.
And haven't you ever watched The Replacements? With Gene Hackman? What that man said, you people have nothing to lose, and that makes you very dangerous men. The Falcons might be the most dangerous team in the NFL besides the Giants and the Jets.
Yeah, we'll see. And then the Rams are better than last year, so
yeah, like that whole division is solid.
Yeah,
even though the Niners lost last night, like they don't have their starting quarterback. Like they were on their third string guy by the end of the game last night, and still almost came back and won.
Oh, football! So we're a quarter of the way done.
Yeah, we're either a quarter of the way done or three-fourths of the way done, depending on what the schedule goes through in terms of changes because of Rona. Mm-hmm. Roger Goodell's just like, we're doing an eight-game season this year, boys. Because John Gruden won't put his damn mask on. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the NFL. We'll have more NFL talk next week. But Marcus Vandenberg, let's talk some basketball, because I know, you out there in Los Angeles, Marcus, and you know, it might be, you know, nice and sunny out there in Southern California, but be careful, because I hear there's a heat advisory, brother, because the Miami Heat are back. Question mark.
Yeah.
was that just a gimme game? Like the Lakers like didn't try.
I mean, they've won the other series in five games, so I expect Lakers to win in five.
Was that your man Adam Silver calling the Lakers like, "Hey fellas, the more you stretch this series out, the more TV money we can make. Ratings been a little bit down. Can you at least give us five games?"
The ratings have been way down, but to be expected with this time of year, going against football, but it's been embarrassing bad. So, you know, Jimmy Butler had a hell of a game. He had probably the best game of his career. So,
if anybody was going to have that game, it would have been like, that's the one thing people have always said about Jimmy Butler. You could question whether he was, you know, the right guy for your locker room. You know, you question whether he was an elite superstar, but you could never question whether Jimmy Butler was like a fighter and was a dog. And Jimmy Butler, like, he had the game he needed to have, but I think that's it. Like, I think they emptied the clip last night, and the next two games are going to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, Davis was in foul trouble. Then he only had 15 points or something like that. So,
yeah, AD was off last night.
Yeah, I say Lakers in five.
Yeah, plus you know, this is, again, not to besmirch the other team that currently resides in the Staples Center, Marcus Vandenberg. But you're not talking about playoff P here.
No.
You're talking about LeBron James. LeBron James ain't going to let these boys come back on him like that. LeBron is not going to embarrass himself. He's not going to diminish his legacy. And he's not going to do that to Kobe Bean Bryant. LeBron ain't going to do that.
Not this year, no.
Not this year. So, yeah, I agree, Marcus. Lakers in five. I'm trying to think. What's the mood out there? Like, granted, you're socially distancing out there, but is the city excited for this championship, or does it feel down as compared to other years?
No, I don't think there's any buzz, really. It's hard to gauge because, you know, you're not really around people, but it's definitely not. It's not like it was in 2010. So, I think Laker fans will be happy if they win, but, you know, even a victory celebration.
I was gonna say, will they even have a parade?
I saw Tampa Bay did one for the Lightning, and that probably wasn't smart. So, I don't think the city of LA will sign off on that until maybe next year when things are a little better.
Do a virtual parade. But yeah, I think this is going to be interesting, Marcus, because, like, yeah, the Lakers should win this one this year. And then next year will be very, very, very intriguing because not only will you have the Warriors presumably back to some semblance of what they were, you know, a couple years ago, you'll have the Clippers coming back for one more run with Kawhi and Paul George. You'll have the Lakers, who I assume will be able to maybe make some moves and get rid of some of the older talent, maybe bring in, you know, another young star to roll with LeBron and AD. You know, you got young up-and-coming teams like the Blazers or the Nuggets, you know, or the Jazz.
Yep.
Or even like the Suns, man. I think the Suns might have a good little run in them coming up with that young core they got. But then, Marcus, you look at the East, and yes, we still got Giannis. We'll have presumably the Heat will be back in some semblance of what they are now. The Celtics will be back. But the team that intrigues me, and it has that L.A. connection, Marcus, is the Philadelphia 76ers with their new head coach, Glenn Doc Rivers.
Yeah. That's a tough job for Doc Rivers. I'm not sure.
I was going to say, do you think it's – well, two questions. One, do you think it's a good move for the Sixers? And two, is it a good move for Doc?
Great move for the Sixers. For Doc, it's really putting – I mean, it feels like the Blake Griffin era all over again with a team on paper extremely talented and trying to get them to actually – win is with the way the roster is currently constructed going to be very tough with Ben Simmons and Embiid. Yeah, with some bad contracts.
Yeah, it's a roster of talented players, but they don't fit together. It'd be like, you know, for the wrestling fans out there, if you were going to make a tag team of two talented superstars and you're like, okay, I'm going to come out with a tag team of Dusty Rhodes and Rey Mysterio. But individually they're great. But when you put them together, I don't know if it really works. The only thing that may be a good thing for the Sixers with this, Marcus, is, you know, not only are they paying that money to Embiid and Simmons, but they also paying your man Tobias Harris a pretty good bit of change. And his best seasons were under Doc Rivers. So maybe that brings Tobias Harris back a little bit.
Yeah, but, I mean, Tobias Harris, if Tobias Harris is your second best player, you're not winning the title. he's a perfectly fine third piece, but they need a lot out of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to really be a true force in the East, and I'm not sure they can do that. And if you can't do that, then you need to trade obviously one of the two, and I'm not sure which one. I mean, I would assume they would part with Simmons first because considering Embiid's a center, but I'm not sure what they would get back for Ben Simmons at this point.
Yeah, it's easier to find somebody with Simmons' skill set than Embiid's, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But it feels like they really need a point guard, which is weird to say because ostensibly that's what Ben Simmons was supposed to be. But, like, because he's played what? He's played point guard, he's played two guard, they had him at the three. Now they tried to put him at the four during the bubble season. So it's like, Where do you think he fits best on that team?
I mean, until he can shoot, he's probably best as a forward. You can't put him out there as a one or God forbid a two because he does not shoot.
How you got a shooting guard that can't shoot?
I mean, he's perfectly capable, and he's a high percentage shooter, but he's getting shots that are in the paint. So that's why I think making him a point forward makes the most sense.
What is it with Philly drafting guys that can't shoot? Because first it was Markelle Fultz, who was just all the pieces. And then Ben Simmons, like anything outside of the paint, like it's hit or miss with Ben, literally.
I mean, he won't even shoot. I mean, that's the thing. It'd be different if he at least shot outside the paint. He would keep teams somewhat honest, but teams know that he's not going to shoot the three, so they can really play up on him and sort of force him to the basket.
Yeah, I'm interested because, like, honestly, if I was Doc, I think I might have taken a year off.
Yeah.
And seen where the musical chairs kind of stopped. And I would have let Mike D'Antoni handle that problem in Philly. Because, I don't see that ending well. Like, I think there'll be – like, they'll be good enough to make the playoffs, but that's not what Philly fans want.
No, not at all. But, I mean, you got a five-year deal, so if they're patient through the first year, I think that'll force Philly's hand one way or the other to, move someone on that team.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, I think because Embiid is so young, we forget, like, he's been in the league, what, 5 years now already?
If you count
the injury
year he missed, I believe so.
So it's like, that's the other thing with Embiid too. It's like, I don't know if it's like a chicken and the egg situation, Marcus. Is he always injured because he's not in shape, or is he never in shape because he's always injured? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like he's when he's good, he's really good. But we just he hadn't shown like he's basketball Carson Wentz.
Except Carson got the Super Bowl, at least.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So what you're saying is they need to find the basketball Nick Foles, and that'll take it to that next level.
Pretty much.
So who's basketball Nick Foles? They got to bring back J.J. Redick?
I mean, they should have kept J.J.
They really should have. Like, that's what you need. You needed somebody that could shoot and somebody that could pass a little bit. J.J. could do both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Anything else on the NBA before we switch gears, Marcus?
No, that's it.
All right. Let's see. So we talked NFL, we talked NBA, we talked COVID. Try to think any other big thing like wrestling. you still out here watching this Thunderdome, Marcus?
No, I did watch the Reigns-Uso match. That was great.
Mm. Yeah, let's talk about Roman Reigns for a little bit just to make Jermaine mad.
Yes.
Because Roman Reigns, like, since he's come back, like, I think they rushed the story. I think they could have let it play out for a few more weeks. But it's been a really good story with him and his cousin.
This is the best work of his career, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no surprise there that Heyman is involved in yep. that. So
it's a perfect pivot for Roman and also for Heyman coming off from Brock to Roman.
Yeah, they're both able to use real life sort of instances of, you know, being pushed aside for various reasons. Roman with, you know, not wanting to compete during the middle of the pandemic, and then Heyman was let go from his position on creative, and Lesnar's, you know, reportedly not signed at the moment, so that leaves them sort of in a weird spot. But and you have the natural connection between Heyman and the Samoans from mm-hmm. way back when.
Yep. Yep.
So that's, I mean, you know, that's when Heyman talked about knowing Roman since he was a little kid. Like, that's true. That's yeah. This was all sort of building up to this angle.
Yeah, and I have enjoyed it. Like, I think that, again, like, I think it got hurt a bit by having, like, those pay-per-views within 2 weeks of each other.
Yeah.
But I feel like this has been one of the best stories WWE's told in a while. And it just goes like Roman, and this is one thing I've always said when I talk to Jermaine, like Roman has talent. It's a matter of the company putting him in the best position. And like for so many years, Marcus, they tried to make him like the new John Cena babyface. And that wasn't uh-huh. going to work. People weren't trying to buy that. You know, we already had that. People weren't trying to buy that now. It's like it's John Cena. Only now in Samoan flavor. Like, no, we don't want that. We want, you know, Roman to be Roman. And I feel like this character, like he's probably more of an asshole than the real Joe, but it feels like he's allowed to be himself more, you know, with Heyman and with this character and bringing in all the family stuff. Like the video they did a couple weeks ago where they had like Rikishi on yeah. talking about how Jey Uso was going to win and bring the title home. And, you know, you're bringing in all the great Samoans to tell the story. Like, I think if they do this right, you know, you've got this character has legs for a while. And then eventually, you know, maybe a year from now, when they flip him back, I think he'll be a more natural baby face than he was when they tried to force him down people's throats.
And if they really do this right, they could, I don't expect The Rock to wrestle, but they could at least some type of, you know, showdown or, you know, promo or something that where The Rock, you know, after running.
I mean, if The Rock's movies aren't, I will say if The Rock's movies aren't back in production by next March.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get that match, Marcus.
I don't see him wrestling.
I don't either, but it would be like that would be the ultimate story. Because you could take it all the way back to when The Rock tried to get Roman over at that Royal Rumble, and nobody bought it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, that would be great. So, yeah, it wasn't Roman's fault, Jermaine.
Nope. Jermaine.
Roman, here's how you know, Roman, like, Jermaine. I'm going to explain it. I'm going to break it down in language you can understand. So bear with me, Marcus. I'm going to do this for Jermaine. And the rest of the listeners out there, just, you know, it's just me talking one-on-one with Brother Jermaine. Roman Reigns was Mitch Trubisky. Like, Mitch Trubisky has some talent, but the Bears didn't put him in the best position to succeed, Marcus. They took Maserati Mitch and put cheap diesel fuel in him. That's a bad analogy, but let's keep going. And so Maserati Mitch wasn't able to get on the freeway and be the best he could be because of what the Bears did to him. Same with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns couldn't be the best he could be, Jermaine, because the WWE was holding him back by pushing him forward.
Open up the third eye, Jermaine.
Yes, Jermaine. Hail to the chief, Jermaine.
Yeah.
Oh, that might be the episode title.
Hail to the chief.
Hail to the chief. Because people think we're talking about 45, but we're talking about Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Would Roman Reigns make a good president?
A better president than the one we have currently.
Oh, so yeah, unless you got anything else, Marcus, I think we can wrap this show up this week.
No, I think that's it.
How's your series going on Yahoo? Is it finishing this week or you got one more week left?
We have one more week this week, Tuesday, race car driving. So, last week was hockey, which was, coming off the heels of the Stanley Cup. Mm. Got some, you know, got the reporter, Lila Bromper, got some pretty refreshing and honest answers from current NHL players at Wayne Simmonds and JT Brown. Just talked about diversity and sort of feeling like, you know, you're alone in a sport that does not still embrace you. So, and then the first two were swimming and soccer. So,
okay, good, good. And then you said racing is this week.
Yes, and that comes after. You know,
and is it NASCAR or Formula One or what?
I mean, it's more NASCAR focused, but it's just race car in general.
Because we still got my man Lewis Hamilton out there on the streets. That event, one of these days we're going to have to talk about Lewis Hamilton, Marcus, because we
did emails.
Yes. Listeners that keep asking us about Lewis Hamilton. Like the problem is Marcus Vandenberg. I hate to put you on Front Street. Marcus Vandenberg is not a Formula One expert.
No.
And I have not watched a Formula One race in like 10 years. And so we need to find a Formula One expert, preferably a black Formula One expert. Which is probably like finding a needle in a haystack. Like, we'd have better luck trying to talk to Lewis Hamilton himself. But yeah, so that's cool. You can check that out on Yahoo Sports. What's the name of the series again?
The Privilege of Play.
The Privilege of Play. Okay. Where else or where can the people find you, Marcus, if they want to know more about that series or if they want your thoughts on Halloween Havoc, which is coming back to the WWE, Marcus?
Oh, man. They need to bring back the wheel. Spin the wheel, make the deal.
Spin the wheel, make the deal.
Yeah. You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter at N8, MozaiK, at NateMosaic.com. No, that's not it at all. I was trying to multitask, Marcus. I was trying to look up my song lyrics at the same time. I was trying to look up, I was trying to say my Twitter handle. But yeah, Twitter at N8, Mosaic, Cospod, KOS_PED, POD. That's a whole different show, PEDs, at N8, MozaiK for me, at KOS_POD for the show, Facebook.com/KingsOfSport, let's see, Patreon, Patreon.com, / the Kings of Sport for the Patreon page. I'm trying to think, did we have anything else? Oh, Rocky Maivia Picture Show at Post Wrestling. And if you subscribe to our Patreon, you might as well subscribe to Post Wrestling Patreon, because if you do, you will hear Marcus's favorite podcast of 2020.
Amazing.
Oh, on the latest edition of Review Away, a Rewind Away, Chris from LA, the professor, Wei Ting, and I review the WCW Slam Jam album from the 90s, and it is it's crazy. Did you remember most of those songs, Marcus?
I was not familiar with the Freebirds track. the Steamboat track, and I think those are the only two. The other ones, I mean, they're pretty synonymous with the actual wrestlers of the 90s.
Right, yeah.
But
that Steamboat track is a banger, though.
Like KMA, my favorite track is Rick Rude.
Oh, yeah, the Simply Ravishing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, that's the Rewind Away at the Post Wrestling Patreon. You can check that out. And I've done enough vamping, Marcus, while I looked up my lyrics. So we're going to call it a day. We're going to end the show.
Right.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for downloading. Thank you for checking us out, whether you're watching the video version or the audio version. We'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the Kings of Sport podcast. Maybe we'll have new NBA champions by then, Marcus Vandenberg.
We should.
So we might have something to talk about then. And we'll have to have Chris on. That might be the play, Marcus. We'll have to have Chris on for his Lakers celebration and to talk politics.
Okay.
So that's the game plan. So for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Everybody want to run. They don't want it like us. I paid my dues, but they still trying to Wesley snipe us. Tell me why we still going to win tonight. Breaking bread, we got everybody right. Because the Chief don't run. No, the Chief don't run. We see you, Roman Reigns. Because you've been down with the Kings.
All right.
Before the red cups in the backwoods smoke, me and mom in the shack in the woods, bro. I was sleeping on the floor with the oven door open while I dreamt about the places that I would go. We'll go door to door to door all day. We'll begging them to lay up in their foyer. I was sitting with the hookers in the motel hallway, waiting on a blind audition like it's Broadway. Now these matters looking like a fleet of foxes. Rat pack, chief of staff like Sinatra. Eat, drink, swank, that's the mantra. Better stand when I speak, fix your posture. Chief, don't run, baby, where the papa? Wanted me to be a lawyer, engineer, doctor. The new Godfather, keep your old mobsters. Matter of fact, you can keep your old Oscars. It's the mind never dies now. I'm on a yacht with a prince in Dubai now. I'm with the Dalai Lama's homies in the Sky Lounge. Cocktails got me loosening in my tie now. They say a papa never honored in his homeland. Welcome to your funeral.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD
or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!
I'm on a new level.